We're beginning something new. We're beginning a season on discipleship and we're going to be looking at the three pillars of our church: discipleship, blessing, and worship. There was a bit of a discussion about, well, how should we do worship, discipleship, blessing? Like worship first? Well, yeah, that makes sense. We begin with our worship, and then out of that we learn about who Jesus is, and then out of that we bless. That there was a certain logical process to that. And then there was also looking at what's the order of how it happens for people in Scripture. Peter and Andrew and John, they were disciples first. And out of that, they came to learn what it was to bless others, and they were taught to bless. And then as they came to know him, they came to worship him. They came to worship him. And so we're going to take that approach: discipleship, blessing in October, and worship in November. And we'll be focusing on them. Of course, you could arrange them in all kinds of ways because they tend to loop back on each other. And they're so connected, they're so interlocking, that it's kind of hard to tease them out and understand what the differences are. And to recognize how deeply tied together they are. I mean, where does discipleship really start? And how do we even know that we're doing it well? Is it in the projects that we accomplish, the great things that we do? Is it in the success of the programs that we run at the church? Is it in the numbers of people who attend on Sunday morning, or the people who attend Alpha, or the numbers of people who attend the various programs that we have? Is it growing numbers? What's the goal? What's the end purpose of discipleship? And so we're going to look at a passage of Scripture, and I'm going to propose a suggestion, an idea out of it. And I'm certainly open to conversation around this. So in John chapter 1, verse 35 to 42, it's in your pew Bibles. It's going to be right there, right about now. Page 978, was that right? Was that where it is in the pew Bibles? You can follow along with me as I read. And of course, like I always like to do, I want to set the context for this. So this is in the first chapter of the Gospel of John. John begins with that great poetic statement: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he goes on to say, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And there was a man named John, referring to John the Baptist. He was not the Word. He was not this light that is coming into the world, but he bore witness to the light. And John had disciples. He had his own followers. And in this passage, John has seen Jesus the day before. And he sees Jesus and he says, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And he goes on to say, this one, I know he's the one, because the Spirit told me that the one that you see the Spirit descend on like a dove, this is the one, the Messiah, the promised one. And then the next day, we begin here. The next day, John, that's John the Baptist, John was there again with two of his disciples. And when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. And when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you'll see. So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who had heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. And the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which when translated is Peter. It means rock. May God help us to understand what's written in his gospel. We're talking about discipleship and what it is to be a disciple. What does it mean to be a disciple? And the first thing that I want to say off the top is everyone is a disciple. Everyone is a disciple. The question isn't, will I be a disciple or not? The question is, will I be a disciple of this one or of that one? Will I be a disciple of what? A disciple of who? We all need to follow something, and we will, one way or the other, even if what we are discipled to is our own independence and our own standing on our own 2 feet, and we're not going to follow anybody and we're going to be the leader. That mindset, that will be what we're discipled to. Everybody gets discipled to somebody, to something. We get tied to something. So discipleship is not an accessory to life. Discipleship is not an option. Everyone is a disciple. Jesus calls us to be disciples of him, to follow him. But we will end up serving and following something. In the old Bob Dylan song, I'm really dating myself here, you gotta serve somebody. Everybody will serve someone, will serve something, and we will be discipled. At the core of discipleship to Jesus, the core of discipleship is knowing Jesus and being known by Jesus. That's the heart of discipleship. That's this sermon in one sentence. Knowing Jesus and being known by Jesus. That's the heart of discipleship. Being rooted in Jesus. Yes, in his teaching. Yes, in his teaching. But not only in his teaching. Not only focused on knowing everything about Jesus. Not Jesus trivia nerds. That's not what he's trying to create. Knowing all the details and all the minutia about Jesus and his life and the Bible and the scriptures and all of the things that we can quote chapter and verse. There's nothing wrong with being able to do that. But that is not the heart of discipleship. The heart of discipleship is knowing Jesus and being known by him. I was 40 years old before I met Jesus. I had grown up in a church much like this one, very similar to this one. I had grown up in a church where I was taught the scriptures and I was told the story and I was taught the gospels and I could quote it to you and I knew it and I understood it and I was doing all of the things that I thought I needed to do, all of the things that I was being told to do. And I thought, through my early adult life, I thought, that's it. This is it. I guess I know Jesus. I know a lot about Jesus. I certainly love studying the Bible, and I certainly love having religious discussions, and I certainly love having all of the philosophical and theological dialogue. I love reading stuff about it, and I didn't even like to read all that much, but I liked reading stuff about that, and I was immersed in it in many ways. But I realized at 40, through a series of experiences that I had not really ever known Jesus. I came to know him because God looked at me and saw all of the things that I was trying to do in the church and in my life and all that sort of thing. And he said, oh, that's very cute. And he picked me up and he moved me over and he put me down in a new place where I was confronted with people that I was meeting in whom Christ spoke to me in a way that I had never experienced before. I'll talk about these experiences in follow-up sermons, so come back. Jesus underlines the importance of knowing him. The importance, aside from keeping the rules and following the laws or even doing great things. When we just finished studying a great deal of the Sermon on the Mount and spending a lot of time unpacking that. And at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, right near the beginning, he talks about the law. Don't think I've come to abolish the law. He's not saying the laws aren't important. He says something very telling. He says, I did not come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill the law. I am the fulfillment of the law. The law reveals me. The law expresses me. The law comes from me and comes back to me. I fulfill the law. And then he unpacks what that looks like. And clearly it's not just a set of keeping a bunch of rules and regulations. Clearly there's something deeper, something going on that has to do with changing the core of who we are. When he talks about your heart, when he talks about your core, when he talks about your identity as a person inside. And he goes all the way through the sermon, and then at the very end of the sermon, not to put too fine a point on it, Jesus reminds them again. And right near the end of the Sermon on the Mount, he concludes with these words. He says, not everyone, chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? And then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Pretty blunt words, pretty dark words, and especially when we look at what they're saying, he doesn't dispute that they actually did those things. He doesn't say, you never did that, you're making that up. He doesn't say that. He says what? He says, I never knew you. People are able to do all kinds of amazing things, and that's not discipleship. We might be able to do miracles. We might be able to cast out demons. I don't know how you do that without him, but it's what it says. Even prophesy. And they're saying not just that they did those things, prophecy and casting out demons and performing miracles, but they did them in his name. And he will say, I never knew you. He's making the point pretty clear to me as we unpack all through the Sermon on the Mount that knowing him is the core of it. And then in the story that we just looked at, the call of the Apostle Andrew and what is probably John, the Apostle John, he doesn't name himself, but he's the writer of the book, and he kind of seems to do that all the way through the Gospel of John. He seems to show up as this unnamed character who's witnessing it all. There's some things we want to unpack in that. Doing the will of the Father, in Jesus' last words in the Sermon on the Mount here, doing the will of the Father is connected to knowing Jesus. More specifically in that case, being known by Jesus. Away from me, for I never knew you. But following Jesus is more than just keeping his teaching. These apostles, before they were apostles, this, say Andrew and John, they were disciples already. They were disciples of John the Baptist. They were following John's teaching, and they were following John, and they were listening to John. They'd seen something in John, and they'd been drawn to it. They gravitated to it. There was something there, and they wanted that. So there was a hunger there that didn't originate with Andrew or John. That is something that is placed in people, and it's given to people, and it needs to be nurtured. And they nurture it with whatever is available. They were nurturing it with John the Baptist. But John says something that makes them direct their attention to Jesus, and they follow him. I think it's really interesting. It says they follow him. They're following behind him, watching him, kind of wondering about him. They don't know anything about him. They haven't spoken to him. They don't try to stop him. He stops and turns around and says, "What do you want?" And their first question, which might have been this kind of stumbling, bumbling, oh, we're kind of caught. Oh, he's turned around and looked at us. I don't know where he's staying. It might have been that, but I don't think it was, although it's kind of fun to think about it that way. I think what they asked was a really good question. They wanted to get to know him. They wanted to see who he was. They wanted to understand him. And they wanted to know him. And so they wanted to be with him. And they wanted to spend some time with him, to make time to be with Jesus, to get to know him. And so they went and they just hung out. They just hung out with Jesus. It was like late afternoon and they just hung out with him for the rest of the day. It doesn't say what they talked about. It doesn't say what they did. I'm assuming food was involved if they named that time of day. But it doesn't say. They just were there. They were just being with him. And there were all kinds of other things maybe going on and things that they talked about. But then the next thing that happens is Andrew, immediately, he goes and gets his brother and he brings his brother. He brings his brother. I want to suggest that at the core of discipleship, at the center of discipleship, is being with Jesus, is making time to be with Jesus. And I don't want to give any illusions about the or suggestions that that is something that I just naturally do all the time. It's hard work. It's hard work in our world to carve out time to be with Jesus. And it doesn't change just because you're a pastor. It's just, life is so full. There's so much going on. And it's not just a question of reading our Bibles or taking classes or being at the church or making the times to do that or doing devotionals. Those are all good things. Those are all really good things. And I'd encourage people to do them. I'd encourage myself to do them. And I'd encourage you to encourage me. Because it's hard work. There's always a million other things going on. There's always a million other distractions. It's because the problem is that when I try to make time to be with Jesus, when I try to really just hang out with him, because there's no substitute for that. There's no substitute for just making time to be with Jesus. But frankly, our lives are stupid busy. Like, really? Really? Our lives are outrageously and unworkably full. Most of the people that I know, including myself, I suffer from whenever I try to do that, slow down enough to just listen, to just hang out with Jesus. I suffer from what somebody called monkeys in the tree brain. Imagine your mind as a tree. But it's not a calm tree. It's a tree that is full of hundreds of howler monkeys, right? All kinds of monkeys hanging from their tails and their back feet and hanging from their arms and swinging from limb to limb and jumping from branch to branch and all so many things. And they're all yakking and calling and making all kinds of racket. And so when I try to calm my brain down, I'm immediately distracted with my kids and the shopping. I have to, and what's for supper tonight? And is Donna annoyed at me? I have to call this person. Okay, time with Jesus. I'm so tired. Oh yeah, I want to watch that show tonight on Netflix, but it's starting. Oh, am I going to have time to? Okay, time with Jesus. Oh, I forgot to read that email. Okay, I don't want to disappoint my coworker. Maybe I should do the email and then, okay. Meditation is just one more demand on my already stretched schedule. Time with Jesus becomes this crazy trying to slow down when the rest of my life is whirling like a storm. And so time for Jesus needs to become something that I either don't do at all, or it needs to be incorporated into my life. I need to be in his presence. So on my way to work, well, you have some time there. On the GO train, on the subway, on the bus. I mean, we complain sometimes, some of us do, that you know, public, we're not allowed to pray in public anymore. Well, nobody can actually stop you from praying in public. Just take some time to be with Jesus as you ride the subway, as you sit in your car in traffic, as you sit on the QEW, as you're walking to work, as you're sitting there. And as you do that, as these things start coming at you, my kids, I could do what Andrew did. I could bring my kids to Jesus. And is my wife annoyed with me? Well, I could bring my relationship to Jesus. And what am I going to have for supper tonight? And, oh, I need to do that shopping. Where's that shopping list? Yeah. Bring my shopping to Jesus. How do I spend my money? How do I set my financial priorities in my life? What does guide that? And where does Jesus figure in that at all? As I think about the show on Netflix that I want to watch, yeah, what do I do with what I call my free time? How do I spend my free time? And maybe invite Jesus to come and watch the show with me. I mean, he's there anyway. He might as well sit down and watch the show with me. And then we could talk about it after. Because discipleship is knowing Jesus and being known by him. Discipleship is to be vulnerable to Jesus. That's what it is. It's allowing him to know us. To stop pretending that he doesn't know what's going on anyway. And to acknowledge, yeah, this thing, these things in my life. Come on in and let's hang out together. You know what's going on with me. I want to know what's going on with you. He says to do this simple thing. Discipleship is simple. He didn't say easy. He said simple. It's simple. Simply to be known by Him and to know Him. It's not easy. It's hard. Being vulnerable is one of the hardest things we ever do, whether it's to Jesus or to the people who are close to us or to ourselves. But Jesus says, come, follow me. He says that so many times in some variation or another. He says, follow me. He says, remain in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Remain in me. Take up your cross, not my cross. Jesus doesn't say take up my cross. He says take up your cross. Take up the things in your life that are hard, the things that are such a burden, all of the stuff that you're dealing with, all of those monkeys in your brain. Take up all of those things and follow me. Bring them to me. Let's go together, you and me. Follow me and you'll fish for people. My sheep listen to my voice and they follow me. I'm the way. No one comes to the Father but through me. Look, I am with you always, even to the very end. It's not simply about following another set of rules and laws. It's not simply about teaching and doctrine. Discipleship is not simply about knowing those things. Jesus in the gospel is quite clear about that, if we're paying attention. Those things are important. I'm not saying they're not important. They are important. But they have no importance in and of themselves. The rules and laws are fulfilled by Jesus. They reveal Him. They are from Him. They spring from Jesus and His relationship to the Father and to the Spirit. And they play out in His relationship to them. And He invites us to follow Him, to do what He does, to live in relationship to God, relationship to the Father. And all of those other things can be a help, but they are of value if they are helping. They are of value if they help us. So Bible memorization is great if it helps you know Jesus. Knowing doctrine is great if it helps you know Jesus. Doing all of the things that the rules and the laws and all of the different things that we do, the avoiding the bad things and doing the good things, those are good if they help you follow Jesus, if they help you know Him. And if they help, more so, if they help Him know you. Those are the things. Living a good Christian life, it's an important thing. It's a good thing. If it helps us to know Jesus and to be known by Him. And ultimately, all of those things are of value insofar as they do that. We are called to know Jesus, to make time for Him, and to be known by Him. And discipleship leads to that. It begins with that, and it leads to that. And the whole way through, it is that very thing. Blessings come out of discipleship. Blessing comes out of knowing Jesus and being known by Him. And worship the same. All of those things ultimately all loop back onto that one thing. Knowing Jesus. Am I knowing Him better? Not do I know Him better than that other person sitting down the pew that I know like knows Jesus really well. Don't compare yourself to the other people. Compare yourself to who you were yesterday. Do I know Jesus better today than I did yesterday, or last week, or last month? And does Jesus know me more, better than He did a week ago, or a month ago? Am I more in tune in that, and in all the things that I do? The rules that I keep, the laws I live by, the principles that are that guide my life, how I make decisions, what I make decisions about, where I live, what job I take, who I connect with, what I do. All of those things rooted more in, is this drawing me deeper into a relationship with Jesus? Is this leading me forward to know Him better? And is it leading Him to know me better? And so in all these things, in our lives individually, because this can sound very individualistic, that has individual applications to us. But it also has very important implications for our community. We need to be a community of people individually who are doing this. And we also need to be a community where everything that we do with each other encourages not only ourselves to do that more, but encourages other people to do it more. So that we're not holding anything over somebody that is actually preventing them from coming to know Jesus a little better. Or more importantly, that we're not holding something over somebody that's preventing us from coming to know Jesus a little better. Going into the relationships that we have in this community and looking at the other people around us and saying, do I see Jesus in that person? Do I see the presence of Christ in them? We did the passing of the peace this morning. Colin kind of pushed us past the idea of just turn and say hi to the people around you. And he said, to pass the peace of Christ. The peace of Christ has been given to you. Christ is, you are on some level already a disciple. You are seeking to follow. And you have an impact, every one of you, myself included, we have an impact on the people around us. Are we passing the peace that Christ has given us? Are we honestly expressing what our relationship is with Christ, where we are at, what we are struggling with? And are we inviting the people around us into a deeper dialogue and relationship with Jesus as well? How do we do that? How do we do that well? And how do we know? How do we measure it? Those are the challenges that we have as His disciples. And in all of those things that we do, in all of our relationships with each other here in this community, and in all the programs that we implement, and in all the sermons I'm going to preach, we have to ask ourselves, is this leading me into a deeper relationship with Jesus? Is this helping someone else come into a deeper relationship with Jesus? To be known and to know Him. And in all the things we do, God, may Your will be done here in Clearview as it is in heaven. Amen.